number 2 in your Bible. We're going to look at it. Of course, we've been studying chapter 2 this week, and I love the book of Ephesians. Oh, when I get into this book, I think I want to take a week for each verse in this book. It's so rich and so many great things in this book. And of course, we'll be in chapter 3 this coming week. I'll be gone Wednesday, so Connor's going to lay the foundation for Wednesday night. And you'll have to tell me what he shared to make sure I don't step on his toes or anything. So let's stand, if you're able to, and read the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter number 2 in your Bible with me. You follow along and I'll read. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, isn't that a great word? But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to talk to you today about our quickening. I already said something already before the young people left of the value of collective Bible study together as a church. That's been such an encouragement to you, to me. And on Wednesday night, we talked about a graveyard. I thought, what a great picture that is. And verse 1 says, we have been quickened or made alive. Well, that's good, but that's not really a completely accurate picture of what it means, what God did when he saved us. And I want to share some thoughts along that line today of our quickening. Father, we pray that you would bless your word this morning. God, help me to make this as clear to folks that are here as you've made it to me. And through the Spirit of God, Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word. It's not what the preacher says. It's not, well, this is my thoughts, or this is the way I see it. But what do you have for us today? Lord, I pray that you would give us ears to hear what God has today from the very words of your mouth. Through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God that you preserved for us today. Bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat if you will. Let me ask you something. Are you saved today? Amen. Have you been quickened? I can't help but to rejoice, especially this time of year, because it was this time of year 46 years ago. I don't even think I'm that old yet. But it was 46 years ago. I was still barely a teenager. And I came to realize that all my works of righteousness, all my religion, all my good deeds, everything that the church told me what to do, and then hopefully that'll get me to heaven. But I realized that meant absolutely nothing to God. And I came to God and confessed my sin. I called upon him to be my Savior. What that means, and we get scared of that confession. We confess with our mouth, and well, we got to stand up and tell everybody what we did. No, to confess means to agree with God. I agreed with God. I am a sinner, condemned, and on my way to hell. that I deserve nothing but eternity in hell. That there is no good thing inside of me. Nothing at all. I cannot earn my salvation. I don't care how many candles I burn. I don't know how many church services I go to. I don't care how much good I do, how many things I do that the church says I have to do, and how many times I have to take communion, and how many times I have to do all the... None of that can get me to heaven. I agree that there's nothing I can do to get saved. And I confess, yes, God, I agree with you. I'm a lost sinner. And I believe that Jesus died for me. Isn't that good? He died for me. And I was picturing if I was the only one in this world, Jesus would have come and died for me. That's how personal it needs to be. Now, he died for the sins of the whole world. But for the first time in my life, I saw him on the cross in my mind, and I thought, that was for me he died up there. That was my sin that he was suffering up there. All my religion that caused me to turn my back on him and say, hey, I'm good enough. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm all right. And God said, no, you're a sinner, condemned to die for to spend eternity in hell. And I saw him not only die, but I saw maybe for the first time in my life, I realized that this stuff about the resurrection is real. He really did die. It wasn't just a state of unconsciousness. He didn't really just go into a coma or didn't get real sick. No, he died and was in the grave for 3 days. It's hard to get 3 days from Friday to... You know, we don't do religion too good because religion doesn't match up with the Bible real good. It's hard to get the 3 days from Friday to Sunday morning. I'm not sure how they do that, but religious folks can do miracles, I guess. But he was in the grave for 3 full days. And he came up out of the grave. And he gave the promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But I'm not sure I'm good enough. But I'm not sure if I've done enough good. Jesus said, you're the one I came to save. You're the one I came to save. And I called upon him to be my Savior. And I'm so thankful that he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be, not could be, but shall be saved. And God saved me. And something that scared me is something changed inside. I didn't know what it was. And it really, I look back on it now, it seems like it took place instantly, but it really didn't take place instantly. It took some time before it dawned on me. Something ain't it ain't right. Of course, I'm always never been right up here. But something just isn't right. I mean, things are different than they used to be. And I couldn't put my finger. I didn't know what it was. And I realize now it was that quickening. You hath he quickened. The word quicken means to make alive. Have you found life in him? And I want you to see something in our text this morning. And I want to go through this whole chapter. I'm going to have to speed it up a little bit to do that. But notice, first of all, we were dead. And I said Wednesday night to notice the tenses, the past tense and the present and the future tense in these verses and really throughout the book of Ephesians. Verse number 2 says, in time past you walk according to the course of the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, or the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. We're going to go back to verse number 1. You hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. Notice the past tense. You were dead. Now, I want you to see something here. And again, that picture that I had in my mind, maybe you understood this Wednesday night, but Wednesday night I went home and thought, man, that's good. I was thinking about that all day Thursday, and then it dawned on me what I was thinking was not exactly the way God paints the picture. What does it mean when we say we were dead in trespasses and sin? Does that mean we're in a state of comatose? That we're in a state of unconsciousness where we weren't aware of what's going on? Now, we understand this when it comes to sharing the gospel with somebody. In fact, I want you to turn your Bible to Revelation chapter number 20. I want you to see a verse that we often share with people, but I want to see it in maybe a little different light of what it means to be dead in trespasses and sin. What it means to be dead before we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, we give a definition oftentimes when leading somebody to the Lord of what it means to be dead. What do we usually say when someone is lost and we're telling them the wonderful gift of salvation? And we say, well, let's read the verse. In Revelation chapter number 20, we usually use one of these verses in sharing the gospel, beginning, if you will, in verse number 10, the devil that deceived them, and this is the end time, this is the end of this world, the final judgment of the devil and those that are lost. And the devil that deceived them, the lost people, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be, what's that say, tormented day and night. Forever. Is there an end in sight there? No, it goes on forever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon the throne, whose face and the earth, the heaven fled away, there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead, those that have passed away, were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. What? Read that last part of verse number 14 with me. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in to the lake of fire. Now back in verse number 10, it says this lake of fire is something that goes on for eternity. This is death. How do we define death? When sharing the gospel with somebody, how do you usually find death, the second death? It's what? Separation. When my body dies, my soul is separated from my body. To die eternally means that I'm separated from God for all eternity. Now the Bible said, and by the way, when we're separated from God from eternity, does that mean we're just dissolved in that lake of fire? Does that mean it just ends right there? That it's just over with? We're burnt up and that's the last memory? It says that it burns forever and ever. In other words, I'm dead, but I'm still very much alive. You see, what I'm getting at today, before I was saved, the Bible says that I was dead. That doesn't mean I was dormant. That doesn't mean I was unaware, that I was unconscious, but I was separated from God. That's what death means, to be separated. And God says that I was dead. When Adam and Eve sinned, and we go back to Ephesians chapter number 2, when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, what happened? Remember God said, if you eat the fruit, thou shalt surely die the day you eat that fruit? They ate the fruit, and what happened? They dropped over dead, right? Well, their mind, their soul died, or their spirit died. It dropped over dead, right? No. In fact, their soul was more alert now after they'd sinned than it was before they'd sinned. The devil told the partial truth that your eyes will be open and you will be like God if you eat this fruit. Their eyes were open now that they'd sinned. They had a conscience. They knew that they had done wrong. And they realized that all of a sudden they realized for the first time they were naked. They were embarrassed about somebody who knows the truth about them. They were ashamed at what they were. Their mind was still, physically they were alive. Their mind was still alert. They were enlightened and given a conscience, but they hid from God. You see, there was something all of a sudden they realized, hey, God and I aren't on the same page like we used to be. When he comes around, he's a holy God and we're no longer sinless. We're going to have to hide from him. And so they hid from him. They made the clothes to try to hide themselves. And we were born with that Adamic sin nature, separated. You see, they didn't drop dead, but they were separated from God. And that is death. And we were born with that sin nature. We don't sin because we don't become sinners when we sin. We sin because we are sinners. And that's why I asked the question Wednesday night, why do you suppose that God never lists the sins of the flesh that we identify with as he does in other places of Scripture, all the terrible things that are in our heart, but God says, no, you're just dead. Dead men do what dead people do. And those things are just a part of your separation, apart from being apart from God. We were dead. Now notice what it says in verse number 2. In time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's the prince of the power of the air? Who is the god of this world? The devil himself. Satan is. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, I was very much alive, but this is the life I live, separated from God. You know, folks talk about spirits and demons are very real in our culture. It used to be you had to think of a third world culture to think of the demons that are working in people's lives. Now it's in America. I mean, you see the way people dress, the way they talk, the way they act, the way they behave, and just take out a gun and blow somebody away. That stuff wasn't done until we were so obsessed with demons today. And so engrossed with demons. We're very much alive. We're just separated from God. This is who we are. Among whom also we all had our conversation. We lived this life of death in time past, the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. And there where we get to the lust of the flesh or the fruit of of the flesh. And Galatians gives that list of one of the places in Scripture. But God doesn't give a list here. He says, this is what you were in dead and of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature. Because of your Adamic nature, you inherited the sin nature of Adam. And you are children of wrath. We're at enmity with God. We are alive, but we are at enmity with our God. Now, it's nothing personal, but we're just his enemy. Huh? Not because, well, you're a worse person than me. No, we're just dead. We're separated. That's how we were born into this world. You're going to have to be in the nursery very long to figure that one out, huh? Some of you kids are looking at it. Yeah, we got some of those little, I won't say demons, but demon-possessed little darlings. But they're possessed, and we just did what's natural for us, but we were dead. In other words, we were alive. We're aware of the spiritual things going on. We're aware of the spirit. And we live in a culture today that's so far removed from God, and they're so engrossed and curious about the spiritual things in our world today. But we're dead. We're without God. That doesn't mean we're just laying there doing nothing. We're dead. We're separated from God. We're living a life of separation from God. But then it comes to verse number 2. Or verse number 4, but God. This is where God comes in. But God, in verse number 1, says that we were quickened. But God, who is rich in mercy. And by the way, God brought us back to a living relationship with him. Through the Spirit of God, he changed my soul. I turn my soul. My soul is my mind, my intellect, my emotions, my thinking. I turn my thinking to him instead of away from God. In other words, instead of trying to hide from God like Adam and Eve did in the garden, I came to him. And as he reached out to me, instead of rejecting him or slapping his hand away and saying, God, that's fine what you did, but I've got religion. But that's fine. And this is how the devil used to work in my mind. I used to think this way. Well, that's fine for these people that are, you know, are a mess. They're all messed up in drugs or they're murderers or whoremongers. And they're living and they need this salvation experience. But I don't need that. I've got religion. I'm a pretty good person. And God said, no, you're just as dead as they are. You're just as separated from God as they are. And I realized, oh, Lord, I need you. And I turned my mind not to myself, but to him and cried out to him in mercy and sought his salvation, not my salvation, not my works of righteousness, but his finished work of righteousness, and trusted him alone to save me. That's where the but God comes in. And I experienced the new birth as Jesus spoke to religious Nicodemus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see. You can't begin to understand the reality of who God is. And Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born when he's old? Can I enter again in my mother's womb? And Jesus said, no, you don't understand what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. In fact, how can a teacher of religion be so wise in spiritual things and so ignorant of spiritual truth? Because he's dead. That's why. And he said, Jesus said, the wind blows where it listeth. The wind blows where you can't see the wind, but you see what it does. And he said, so is it that a person that is born of the Spirit of God, that you can't see that Spirit come inside of them, but you know something took place there. Something has changed. And I turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior and trusted him for salvation. In the book of 1 Peter says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is what saves us, and the Spirit of God applying that word in our soul, accepting that word, and then I become spiritually alive. Not that I was, God did CPR on me, but God picked me up out of the ground. I was separated, but now I'm united in Christ. And there's where life is. It's in Christ, not in myself. I was dead or separated from God, and now I've become in Christ. And notice what he says we have in Christ. But God, who is rich in mercy and his great love. His rich mercy and his great love. I'll never understand God's mercy. I'll never understand God's love. He alone is rich in mercy and his great love beyond our ability to comprehend his love, wherein he loved us and we only love him because he loved us. I had no love to give to him. He loved me, and so I just give him, it reflects back to him and reflects to others. Even when we were dead in sin, we were separated from him because of our sin. He has quickened us together with Christ by grace. Verse number 5 gives us a beautiful picture. And this is the time of year when religious folks talk about the Christian. By the way, every day is the same as Easter Sunday to me. Every day I want to spend the morning talking to him in the sunrise. I want to talk to him early in prayer every day. I want to see him every day. I want to walk with him every day. I want to adore him. And every day the sun comes up, I'm thinking about, this morning, past week, we had one morning. It was just a beautiful sun. This morning I was kind of in here when the sun came up. So I don't know what it looked like outside this morning. But I like to be outside when the sun comes up. And sometimes it's just so beautiful. And I just picture the Lord Jesus coming one day and arising again from the east. Of course, he's not going to come up slow like the S-U-N. When the S-O-N comes, it's going to be like that. But he's coming from the east. And I like to look at that and talk about a sunrise service on your face before God early in the morning. That's something that we celebrate every day, that Jesus loved me, that Jesus rose from the dead. And look again at verse number 5. It says, even when we were dead in sins, Christ hath quickened us together with Christ. You know, when Jesus came up out of that grave, that verse right there is saying that I came up out of the grave with him. Then that it says we were with Christ. We are risen with Christ. Not that, boy, I hope that one day I'm going to be raised like him. No, we were risen with him. And again, the emphasis in Ephesians and really all through the New Testament, what we so easily miss is the present tense. I am alive in him. I am crucified. When it comes to living the Christian life, we sometimes think, well, you know, I need to learn to die to myself. No, I just need to reckon myself dead. I love that word, reckon. To account myself dead in Christ, to identify with him that he died for me and I died with him and he rose from the dead. And we need to accept who we are in Christ, and therein is victory. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit of God that now lives in us. We are resurrected. We are quickened us together with Christ. That word together is so important in that verse. And then in verse number 6, and hath raised us, again, hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. When we look at the throne and we see Jesus sitting on the right hand, you know we're sitting there with him. We're right there with him. We can talk directly to him. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to a rabbi. I don't have to go to somebody to talk to God for me, to offer sacrifice. Jesus has offered the sacrifice once for all. And I'm sitting right there on the throne with him. I can look directly, look over to my heavenly Father and talk to him. And that's why Jesus said, when you pray, pray to our Father, which art in heaven. He's not just my Father. He's your Father. He's our Father because we're together in him. We've raised us up to sit in heavenly places with God. And this is God's doing. But God, this is what God did for us. And then he just reminds us in, well, I skipped verse 7, I think. I don't think I read that one yet. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. In all the ages to come, God wants others to see Christ. He wants us to see ourselves in Christ. And then in verse number 8 and 9, just a great reminder for grace. For by grace ye are saved through faith. Grace is God doing in us and through us and for us what is humanly impossible. I can't save myself. I can't be good enough to earn salvation. And by the way, I can't live the Christian life. I can't live a life acceptable unto him. God wants to live through me. By grace are you saved. And how does he do that? Through faith. Through faith. And where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's faith in God's Word, giving ourselves to the Word of God, letting the Word of God transform us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, I'm a better Christian than you. No, I'm the worst Christian in all the world. It's not by my works. It's not anything that I've done. I am nobody. It's Christ living in me. You know, sometimes in our pride we think, well, bless God, I'm saved by grace and now I've developed this in my life. I've become a better person and I've changed this in my life and now I'm a better person. No, it's by grace. It's by his grace, God doing in you. It's not of works. If it were of works, I'd have something to boast in. Look at what I've done for Christ. I've done nothing for Christ. I've only let him live in me. We sang about the crowns that we'll cast on his feet. They're not our crowns. They're his to begin with. They never were ours. It's like our salvation was not ours that we earned. It's ours that we simply received. Anything that we could do for Christ is simply allowing him to live in us. And then he goes on in verse number 10, and don't ever stop in verse number 9. Because it's much more than just being on our way to heaven. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. He's saved us to walk in newness of life, to be a different person. You know, when you realize that, you ever hear folks say, I'm living the dream. I'm living the, you know what the dream is? I'm alive in Christ. That is better than anything that I've ever dreamt up. You know, we have desires and we have goals in life, but we realize, you know, all those goals are nothing, but I'm living in the presence of Jesus Christ. And though we face trials and heartaches and troubles in life, we're still living the dream because we're walking with Jesus Christ. He's not just parting the water. He's taking us through the water. And we're glub, 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 glub. He gives us oxygen to breathe while we're underwater. He's not taking us around the mountain. He's going to move that mountain in front of us. He's not putting out the fire. He's not with a fire hose putting out the fire in front. No, we're going to walk through the fire with him. And he's going to carry us through. That's his grace. God doing in us what we could not do on our own. And notice it comes in verse number 11. He reminds us again. This is the neighborhood I grew up in. Here, go back to where you used to live as a child, and this is where I was before Christ. This is the neighborhood I lived in. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past, Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by them, which are called circumcision of the flesh made by hands. We're just Gentiles. God's chosen people. The Jews look down at us. Hey, you're just white trash is what you are. You're just trailer trash. You ain't nothing. You're nobody. That's the neighborhood I grew up in. Nobody. Nothing. Deserving of absolutely nothing. And looked down at by the rest of the world. And that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. You're not even a citizen of heaven. You're not even one of us. And strangers from the covenant. We don't even know how to live the right way. Having no hope and without God in the world. That's the neighborhood we grew up in. We were alive, but we were separated from God. And we didn't know any better. That's just where we were. But now, there it is again. Another but now in Christ Jesus. Now, again, present tense. Now, the present life we have in him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Now, listen to this. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Then everyone's going to see, it's not me, it's Christ. And everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. We're walking with him. We're desiring to be with him. And when we're walking with him, we can't help but to be like him. Because it's him living in us. That's 1 John chapter 3. That's a verse that's meant so much to me in my life, that now are we the sons of God. Right now, and it doesn't appear. Now, I'm a mess right now. I'm a sinful, wicked mess because I still live in the flesh. But in God's eyes, I'm a child of God right now. And I need to learn to walk with him. And when I walk with him, he cleanses me on the inside and the outside. But now, this is the life that God has chosen for us. This is, I mentioned verse 11 and 12, the old neighborhood where we used to live when we were dead. When we were separated from God. We're alive, but we're separated from God. But now we're alive in Christ and through Christ. In verse number 13, I'll just read these verses and we'll be done. But now, in Christ, who hath sometime or far off been made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. We were at enmity with God, but now we're at peace with him. Who have made both one and have broken down that middle wall of partition between us. He's broken down the wall. We're free to enter into his presence. We are in his presence, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, to them, to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit into the Father. We're united with him. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints to the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles and prophets is the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they all focus on Jesus Christ, the very superstructure, the very center of our faith. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. We are now a part of him, a part of his building, a part of his body, a part of his temple. We are in Christ. We were dead, separated from God, but God, in his great love, provided a way of salvation. It's not by works of righteousness, but it's according to his mercy and love and grace. By faith in him, we put our faith in him, and now we are children of God. He has quickened us, made us alive. It's more than we were unconscious and he's brought us to a state of consciousness. No, we were separated from God. There was nothing in us that was lovely. For while we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, those without God. God died for us when there was no reason he should, other than his heart of love. And he showed mercy on us who were undeserving of any mercy. When he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, he was speaking of me. He was speaking of us. We wagged our head and scoffed at him as he was hanging on the cross, yet he was dying for me. And now I am in Christ, and I'm crucified in Christ, and I am risen in Christ. Now the problem we have is I still live in this old flesh. That's where we come to chapter number 3, which we'll get to next week, of how we... this battle, and then applying that is the rest of the book of Ephesians. But in this chapter, we see how we've been quickened. We've been made alive in Christ. But now we are the children of God. He's present in us right now. We are in his presence right now, spiritually, because of his mercy, because of his grace, our quickening. He's brought us together in him. I didn't even put my theme verse up there. I just realized, for by grace are you saved. And you know the verse. Thank God for his grace. Thank God for his mercy. Have you come to the place where you've trusted in his grace, in his alone? Where it's about him, not about our efforts, not about my good works, but it's about him. And I put my faith in him alone. And he's quickened us. He's made us alive. Thank God for the life that we have in Christ. And oh, if we could realize what we have available to us by access to him by prayer, by the Spirit of God that lives inside us to make us not only conquerors, but more than conquerors through him that lives in us. Wow. What we have in him. I'm going to ask you to stand here.